Thank you very much, Mr. Snyder. And good afternoon, brethren. On this toasty where did these lips come from? Toasty California day. Thankfully, it's cooler here than most places around the West. It seems like it's only 115 in Palm Springs. The title of this message today is Blessed is the One Who Endures. And I will give credit for the inspiration and premise for this message to, I guess I don't see Tim and Tammy here today, but I will give them credit for kindly loaning me the inspiration for this message and the platform for it in a set of DVDs that they purchased from the A&E Broadcasting Network. And they endured when I was not able to watch it months and months ago when they gave it to me. And finally, we did have this opportunity, and I wanted to share that story with you as part of this message. Blessed is the one who endures. James 1, verse 12, as we know, in James 1, verse 12, it says that specifically. Blessed is the man who endures. Who endures temptation, and that's some of what we deal with all around us. The New American Standard translation says, who perseveres under trial, and when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So there is a blessing for those who endure and persevere under trial. And I'll share with you the story of a ship by the name of Endurance that embarked on a trek and a journey about 105 years ago. The epic journey of adversity led by an incredible leader, Ernest Shackleton, 1914 to 1917. Ernest Shackleton led 27 men on a failed expedition to cross Antarctica to plant their country's flag at the South Pole, to be the group of men that first crossed Antarctica. Their ship, the Endurance, got stuck in ice and was crushed by the ice floes, forcing 28 men to spend a winter doing everything they possibly could to survive on the ice. And thanks to the leadership, the camaraderie, and the moral uplift that they received from their leader, Ernest Shackleton, and the trust that they built between each other, all 28 of them survived this ordeal. There was a small group led by Ernest Shackleton who went for help, leaving 22 men, as we'll see in the story as we continue. He left with a small group in a boat across the ocean. They had actually to traverse the mountains of Antarctica to try to get to help. But before the rescue attempts, one part in the movie that hit me very poignantly was as they were trying to figure out how to survive, there was one of the oldest men on the trip, Henry McNish. He was a carpenter and actually a shipwright. He was very valuable to the maintenance of the ship. He was age 40 at the time. He was one of the oldest members of the expedition, and he actually stood up to and disputed the authority of their leader, Ernest Shackleton. Of the 27 men on this expedition team, Shackleton wrote that McNish was the only man that I was not dead certain of. And the story goes is that he actually bunked with this man so that he could try to head off any negativity that this Henry had a nature for because being the curmudgeon that he was, he stood up to Shackleton when they lost their ship. Their ship was crushed in the ice. He challenged his authority. He said, the ship is gone. The mission is gone. The mission is over. Who are you to give orders anymore? You don't have any rights to still give orders after the loss of the ship. The mission's over, he said. And Ernest Shackleton said, if you become a deterrent, I'll paraphrase because I don't have the exact quote, but he said, if you become a deterrent and risk the lives of these men, it is my mission to see that everyone gets back safely. If you become a deterrent to that, I will have to shoot you. So he was not messing around. And we have in our Savior someone who will not mess around, especially with anyone who questions his authority as our leader. In the endurance ship that we are in, a ship that he will not allow to be crushed in a wilderness of ice. I love the complete, the contemporary English version of John 14. John 14, verse 15 to 21, when Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will do as I command. And I'll ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. This is the contemporary English version, John 14, verse 15 through 21. This helper will always be with you. The Spirit will show you what is true. This helper will give you an understanding of what the truth is. The people of the world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or know this power. But you know the Spirit who is with you and will keep on living in you. And our Savior, Messiah, and leader says to us through the Apostle John, I won't leave you like orphans. Just like Shackleton told his men, he said, I am about seeing that you all make it back alive. Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. In a little while, the people of the world won't be able to see me, but you will see me. We can always fix our eyes on Jesus, as Paul said. Because of his Spirit, we can always see and have a maintained connection with him. And he said, because I live, you will live also. Then you will know that I am one with the Father. You will know that you are one with me, and I am one with you. If you love me, you will do what I have said, and my Father will love you. I will also love you and show you what I am like. That is the importance of our connectivity with him daily, to learn his continual presence with us, learn about that, and become what he is showing us, what he is like. Interesting, the story of Ernest Shackleton. I'll give you a preface of it here where it says, they owed much gratitude to the commander of the Chilean Navy for their help as well. From Wikipedia, the story goes, during the ill-fated Imperial Antarctic expedition, Ernest Shackleton's ship, the Endurance, became trapped in the ice of the Weddell Sea in January of 1915. In October the 27th, 9 months later, the ship was crushed by the ice and sank. Shackleton and his crew of 27 made their way by foot with sleds, dog sleds, they had a lot of dogs with them, and lifeboats, and to Elephant Island in the South Shetland Islands at the northern tip of the Antarctic Peninsula, facing South America. On April 1916, Shackleton and five of his men they began an epic 800-mile journey in an open boat to the island of South Georgia, leaving 22 men behind on Elephant Island waiting for them. He told them, "I will come back to you." He left to seek help and rescue them. After three futile attempts by various boats using several different ships to rescue the men on Elephant Island, the Yelko, a 120-foot steam tug commanded by Luis Pardo, was authorized by the president of Chile, San Luis Sanfuentes, to escort and tow the Emma, the rescue ship, to try to rescue the men, the 22 that were left behind. When the third attempt with the Emma failed, the Chilean government decided to send the Yelko, this tugboat, alone, although it was totally unsuitable for Antarctic conditions, lacking proper heating, a radio, and a double hull to forge against the ice. With Shackleton aboard, on August 25th, Luis Pardo sailed from Punta Arenas on the Strait of Magellan. By now, the Antarctic winter was at its height, and the ice conditions were difficult as the Yelko neared Elephant Island on August 30th. The 22 men left behind were rescued. They arrived back at Punta Arenas on the 3rd of September to a hero's welcome. And this, mind you, this is all happening, this expedition is all happening while World War I is going on. They arrived back to a hero's welcome, and Pardo was immediately promoted to pilot first class and given several civilian medals and naval honors and credit for 10 years of service for his rescue feat. This reminded me of some of Paul's words. Some of this scenario harkens to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 in the New Living Translation. He told Timothy to please come as soon as you can. Verse 10, he said, "Demas deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens went to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia, and only Luke stayed with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry." And Paul is saying, watch out for the curmudgeons. Paul even said, "Alexander the coppersmith," in verse 14, "did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done." He's writing to Timothy, be careful of him. "For he fought against everything that we said." It reminded me of the trials of the negativity that Ernest Shackleton dealt with on his expedition. Paul continues in verse 16, "The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them." Paul was merciful to them. But he says, "But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death." Just like the mission to Antarctica, they prayed often to God to be rescued from certain death, and God answered their prayers on behalf of all of them for each other and all that they had to do to survive. Verse 18, Paul said to Timothy, "Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." We can stand on the same promises that Paul wrote to Timothy about, providing that we stay in the ship, the Endurance, that God will not let sink. just like he preserved the ark with eight people and tons of animals. We are on this ship of endurance, which will not be crushed by a wilderness of ice. It's interesting to observe, in the very next letter that Paul wrote after 2 Timothy, as he's writing to Titus, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life. These guys were in the Shackleton expedition and the Endurance that sank. They were just trying to stay alive. But we, in our endurance, we can count on the promises of God and the hope of eternal life in Titus 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested, even in his word, this word that we could read every day to this day, in the proclamation with which I, Paul says, was trusted according to God's commandment, the God of our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, verse 4. To you, Titus, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ our Savior. Verse 14, in the New American Standard Translation, Paul was saying to Titus, our people must learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unproductive or unfruitful. That's how they survived in the Antarctic as well. They took care of each other. One man even gave up his cat. They caught birds, they caught penguins, they caught seals, they caught fish. They tried to do everything possible to survive on that ice for about a year. And they shared with each other. One man lost his bit of powdered milk. He accidentally spilled it, and they all gathered around and gave him a little bit of theirs each, so that this gentleman could have some milk for his morning breakfast. In Hebrews chapter 12, right after the Hall of Fame, chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, we can take the admonition where the author of Hebrews, which I believe is also Paul, he says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If the men on this mission, the 28 men, 27 of them following Ernest Shackleton, if they had not been intent on keeping their morale up and pursuing peace with each other, and integrity even, and positive morale, they would not have seen life, nor will we be able to see eternal life, which has been promised by our Lord. Verse 28 in Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we have a promise that cannot be shaken. It is set in stone. Let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. That is how we love each other, with reverence and awe, offering this acceptable service to God. For God, verse 29, is a consuming fire. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, Paul is writing to them in Thessalonica, for God has not destined us to wrath. Similar to what Ernest Shackleton said, he told his men, we're not destined to fail. I will do everything within my power to see that you are rescued. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Since we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude. And as he said in 1 Thessalonians, we're not destined for wrath. We are destined to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are alive or asleep, we shall live together with him. Verse 11, therefore, how do we love each other? Encourage one another and build one another up as you also are doing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. We often wonder, well, what is God's will for us? He says right here what God's will is for us. Give thanks in everything, verse 18, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we can help one another stay in the boat, stay in the endurance, and endure and build one another up. What does that look like? Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, as those of us who have been chosen to stay in this ship called the endurance, we can surmise, as those chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Anyone that has a complaint against anyone, just as God forgave you, you must also do. They were under so much stress to survive that mission in Antarctica. They could have easily fought and killed each other. But they had a leader who kept their morale high, and they had the humility to yield to him. Paul says in verse 14, in addition to all these things, all the things that we just read about, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving, in addition to all of this, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love is our perfect bond of unity. It's what unifies us. It's what God will use in our hearts and between us to support, edify, build one another up, and to preserve us and help us endure together. There will be nothing but division and negativity coming from the outside. We know that. We know that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. But God says, in addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body, rule in your hearts, and do God's will, which the last words of that verse is to be thankful. Our journeys of adversity are not unlike as well what happened to David, what David endured when he was going through the time where he was running from his life. We can look at the story in 1 Samuel chapter 24, when he was in the cave and he encountered Saul. Psalms 142 is the prayer that David preserved for us to read about that time when he was in that cave. He says, verse 1, and there are only 7 verses that I'll share with you here. I cry out with my voice to the Lord. With my voice, I implore the Lord for compassion. You can imagine the men of the mission of the endurance did this exact same thing. He said, David said, verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble for him, before him. He's stuck in a cave running for his life, hiding with his men. When my spirit felt weak within me, God, you knew my path. You knew the way in which I walk. You know that they've hidden a trap for me, verse 3. Look to the right and see, for there's no one who regards me favorably. David felt that he was totally alone. No one regarded him favorably. There's no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, verse 5, and I said, you are my refuge. You are the endurance ship that I want to stay within. You are my portion in the land of the living. Give your attention to my cry, for I have been brought very low, and rescue me from my persecutors. As we endeavor to endure together, unified with the peace of Christ, we can also pray the same prayer that David did when he was in the cave. Give attention to my cry and rescue me, for my persecutors are too strong for me. Verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. So, why? So that I may give thanks to your name. And look what he said. Look what he looked forward to. The righteous will surround me, for you will look after me, is what the New American Standard Translation says. At times we may feel lost. We may feel imprisoned. We may feel stuck like David hiding in a cave when he cried out. But you can see at the end of that chapter, he trusted in God's promises. He looked forward to the time when the righteous would surround him. Or we may feel like we need to be rescued from a wilderness of ice, where our ship has been crushed by the ice, and where we need to be saved. But we have a Savior, an intercessor, and an advocate, a Messiah who sits at the right hand of our Father, who has promised. He has literally promised us that he and his Father are one. And we can stand on these promises in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, when he said to his dearest friends, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. They will never perish because I'm the one that helps them endure. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because verse 30, I and my Father are one. Blessed are those, and blessed is the one who endures.